Good afternoon. It is 47 degrees, partly cloudy and windy in the Jacksonville area. Now time for a look at local and area news, and it's brought to you by Knollwood Retirement Village. I'm Ryan Turk. Here's the latest we have. One person is dead as law enforcement are investigating a possible homicide case in Beardstown. Police Chief Roy Hertz says Illinois State Police have taken control of the scene. Hertz added that the officers are no longer looking for a suspect, but didn't elaborate. We'll have more details when they become available. Morgan County Assistant State's Attorney Chad Turner says a settlement has been reached in the custody dispute over a baby found in a Jacksonville dumpster in August. A hearing was officially rescheduled for today for a modified custody case after a motion Turner filed was continued by Circuit Judge Jeffrey Tobin on October 17th. After Judge Tobin enjoined the Department of Children and Family Services from placing the child with his maternal grandmother, the department then tried to place the child with a different set of foster parents. The infant's mother, a 17-year-old Jacksonville girl, faces attempted first-degree murder charges. She's accused of placing the baby in a dumpster in the 300 block of West Lafayette on August 30th. The baby was placed in the temporary guardianship of DCFS, who then placed the child in foster care. Turner had planned to call five officials to testify, including the DCFS regional supervisor, for the scheduled modified custody case. Turner has argued the child should stay where it's at with his foster parents, and he says DCFS has agreed to that at the same time.
For now, that's exactly where that infant needs to be. He's being well cared for by two really good people who are doing absolutely everything in their power to ensure that all of his needs are met and that he's in a home that he feels loved, and we are very satisfied with that outcome.
Turner believes there's a possibility DCFS will try to reunify the child with his biological family in the future, indicating that's their organizational goal.
At some point, I have no doubt that they will attempt to do that, at which time I may, again, try to block that. I can't imagine the scenario down the road. I don't want to preclude that idea. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult for me to believe at this point that I will agree to that in the future.
Turner has indicated throughout the process that he believes motives other than the child's best interest were at play, and this morning he explained that position.
I don't mind saying that I think race was a consideration. My concern was people within the DCFS administration were making judgments that the child should be with a family with similar racial makeup to his own. And I was concerned that these were people that had no contact with this child or with the foster parents, had no knowledge of the circumstances, and were simply making that judgment that that should be the case. That was something that I wanted to explore and make sure decisions weren't being made for that reason.
Calls to the Attorney General's office were not immediately returned this morning. The focus now shifts to the attempted murder case, but Turner explains that prosecutors additionally are working on an abuse and neglect case.
The court establishes a goal for the child. In essence, what do we hope will happen with him going forward? Are we going to try and reunify with biological family, or are we going to try and look for adoption? There are different goals that the judge can set. And then after that phase, we would just in essence be coming back to court every few months saying, what's the progress towards that goal?
The next court date in the 17-year-old's case is November 13th. If the girl is found guilty, she'd be given a juvenile court sentence and an adult sentence simultaneously. The girl is under modified detention that allows her to continue attending class at JHS and working a part-time job.
There comes a time in your life when you want to be pampered. If you're a senior 65 or over, regardless of income, visit your friends at Knollwood Retirement Village and experience the Knollwood difference. Knollwood offers amenities at no extra charge, such as a moving allowance, 24-hour nursing, and security monitoring, 3 buffet meals, personalized laundry service, weekly housekeeping, cable and Wi-Fi, plus medical reminders. Call 245-5101. Experience the Knollwood difference today.
The oldest operating church in Jacksonville is reaching out to the community to help keep their doors open. The Congregational United Church of Christ was established by Illinois College in 1833 and has been the site of historical events like a speech from Booker T. Washington in 1897. Pat Frey, chairman of the Board of Trustees at the church, says that the cost of repairs has become a burden that the small congregation of about 85 people is unable to afford.
I know that it means a lot to a lot of the people in the community who are not necessarily church members, that we thought maybe we'll just go out to the community and see if there are other people who will help us try to keep this building going and in good shape.
Faye recaps the long list of repairs for the church.
The people we've had in to look at tell us those windows are about to fall out. They've got to be caulked, and they've got to have extensive repair plus be painted. There is some metal reinforcements in the brick that have rusted and are marking the outside of the building. Inside, we have some rooms that need paint and plaster. We have carpet that is in such bad shape it's rumpled up. We need the gutters cleaned and the downspouts have never been done. And all of it in total, from the people we've talked to, comes up to $120,000.
Faye says the church has been holding fundraisers to raise money for the repairs, but the debt is becoming overwhelming. She explains the steps that the church has taken to reach out to the community.
I sent the letter to different organizations who might have creative ideas of different ways to use the building, or different people who might help us, or whether there might be grants, or whether they might have funds that they could just flat out donate to us, for them to just think about any way that they might be able to help us.
To make a donation, stop by the church at 520 West College. A local author will be signing copies of her latest book in downtown Jacksonville tomorrow. Bev John says The Secrets of the Teacher's Lounge is a murder mystery story that takes place in a school. Johns is the author or co-author of 17 other books in education and special education. Currently employed as a professional fellow at McMurray College, John spent over 30 years supervising learning disabilities and behavior disordered teachers in 9 countries. She was also a founder of a public school for students with severe behavioral disorders. Johns will be at Our Town Books starting at 3 p.m. The campaigns are winding up for a big finish, and as Dave Dahl reports, the campaign of Republican Tom Cross for treasurer is no exception.
The former House Minority Leader says he's not concerned about the candidates at the top of the tickets for either party.
The fact that I've been endorsed by most every newspaper in the state, along with folks like Alexi Giannoulis, who indicated that Tom Cross has the ability to work with the other side aisle and get things done, I think speaks well for our campaign, and we've had other Democrats endorse us.
Cross says the down-ballot candidates support their respective gubernatorial candidates, but come on, they've got their own lives to lead. At the Illinois Capitol, this is Dave Dahl.
It's time to set those clocks back. Daylight savings time ends on Sunday morning at 2 a.m., and the general rule of thumb is to turn the dial back 1 hour before you head to bed on Saturday night.
This is Sue Palliser, consumer banker with People's Bank and Trust in Waverly and Palmyra, where you'll find a banker committed to getting to know you and understanding your financial needs. We can help you with all your banking needs, checking, savings, or finding the perfect home loan. Banking is easier with our expert consumer bankers who offer the sound advice and the personal service that you deserve. I want to be your banker in Waverly and Palmyra, and we also have consumer bankers in 9 other locations for your convenience. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Williamson and Erisman Hires Funeral Homes offer burial and cremation services to families in the community. They have a full staff of caring professionals surrounded by beautiful facilities and all at an affordable cost. Williamson and Erisman Hires Funeral Homes, proudly serving communities in West Central Illinois.
We now have the following death and funeral announcements to bring to your attention this afternoon. Eileen Vortman, age 89 of Winchester, passed away Thursday at the Scott County Nursing Center. Eileen Vortman. A funeral service will be held at 3 p.m. Sunday at the Coonrod Funeral Home in Winchester, and burial will be in the Winchester City Cemetery. Friends may call from 2 p.m. Sunday until the time of service at the funeral home. Robert C. Smock, age 86 of Ashland, died Monday at Capital Healthcare and Rehabilitation Center in Springfield. Robert C. Smock. Graveside military rites will be conducted at noon Monday at Camp Butler National Cemetery in Springfield. The family will meet friends from 10 to 11 a.m. Monday at the Buchanan and Cody Funeral Home in Ashland. Raymond E. Little, age 81 of Winchester, died Monday at Glen Oaks Hospital in Glendale Heights. Raymond E. Little. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday at the Dawes Family Funeral Home in Bluffs, with burial at Gillum Cemetery near Bluffs. Family will meet friends from 3 to 8 p.m. Sunday at the funeral home. And Monty L. Woods, age 48, of South Jacksonville, died Tuesday at Pasavan Area Hospital in Jacksonville. Monty L. Woods. Following cremation, graveside memorial services, and military rites will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday at Calvary Cemetery in Jacksonville. The family will meet friends following the services at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Jacksonville. Buchanan and Cody Funeral Home in Jacksonville is in charge of arrangements.
Bulletin News is on the air and online as it happens. Don't forget to check us out on the radio at 1180 AM or 107.1 FM.